Hi there, my name is Jeffrey Reed. I'm a director of worship and ministry development at Lifeway Kids in Nashville. We've got an amazing team here of folks that produce everything from VBS to kids camps, but we also really one of our greatest privileges and joys is to work with ministry leaders, kids ministry leaders, directors, pastors, volunteers, Sunday school teachers across the country. And occasionally we get to have someone on our team speak into this podcast and what we do. And so today we're with Jeff Land. Jeff, say hi.
Hello.
And Jeff is one of our publishing team leaders here. He leads a great team that creates Bible Studies for Life, which is one of our larger curriculum at Lifeway here. Over 15,000 churches use Bible Studies for Life every week. It's really a great curriculum. We actually created another curriculum that goes with it called Worship for Life. It's a large group component. But today, I want to talk about Bible Studies for Life, or the aspect of Bible Studies for Life that really is a part of our discipleship series. We have a 5-part discipleship series, and there's different components of discipleship, from training or mentoring to one-on-one devotion with God to large group outreach, corporate worship to mountaintop experiences. And I wanted to focus in on an area, what I would consider you an expert, because you produce curriculum that is really in this space, and it's small group. Being in a small group is a key part of discipleship, of being a disciple of Christ. I mean, he started small group ministry, if you think about it, and it's carried on until then, and we really need to look at that as a model for what we do. So in kids ministry space, Jeff, I'd love for you to help us unpack that. And so before we do, maybe put a few things out there, give us some definition or a framework for the conversation. And the first is a question for you. What is the difference between, you know, the pure learning model? So that'd be like in secular education, you have a teacher, and some would say this is Sunday school, but we know effective Sunday school teachers don't just stand up front and lecture for an hour. So what's the difference between that model, the pure learning model of education, and then biblical training or discipleship?
Well, for us, we really believe that church, small groups, Sunday school should be a time where kids want to come. And, you know, with my boys, waking them up on school mornings, they're so often they're like, I don't want to go to school. We want them to say we want to go to church. And so part of that training, what we do is try to do very much activity-based learning where kids are hands-on, interacting with the Bible, doing things that are going to be fun, with the sole purpose of leading kids to Christ. With the teaching model, they're trying to teach to an objective, and they're trying to make sure that kids grasp that objective before they move on. With Bible study and learning, we know that the Bible's been around for many years. The Bible hasn't changed. The Bible's not going to change. And so we have opportunities to come back to the Bible throughout a kid's life and try to build on that learning. And so I think with the Bible, there's some flexibility in the way we teach, because we can teach kids that the Bible is a fun. There's not pressure that you've got to pass a particular test. And so we want to make sure that kids grasp the concepts, that they understand how the Bible's put together. But also, most importantly for us, is to teach them how they can apply that to their life so that their life reflects the life of Christ.
Yep. Well, you mentioned a couple of things that made me think that it's not an either or when it comes to secular learning and Sunday school or small group. There's just additional, because you do have objectives. You should have objectives. Mm-hmm. As a Sunday school teacher, as a kids ministry leader, you should have objectives with your kids, mm-hmm. but they are purely spiritual objectives. Whereas in the secular world, you have objectives and they're more knowledge based. And so really small group ministry, it seems like it's a matter of taking that knowledge and making it transformative. Have you probably heard this, that information without perspiration is not transformative? I probably right. just totally botched that up, but that the bottom line is transformation has to occur. If it's just information, then we might as well just play a video for them and hope they learn something, but we've got to interact. And small groups in Sunday school gives us a chance to do that. So there's a question for you, because you don't hear Sunday school mentioned as much as it used to be mentioned. Is there a difference in Sunday school or small group, or is it just a new name?
Well, it really depends on the church itself, but I think that they're pretty much the same thing. I think that Sunday school that we have at my church looks like small groups at the church right down the street. And so one thing that is often confused, I think, with small groups is when we have adult small groups that meet in homes.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times people would say, well, we can't use whatever Lifeway is producing because, you know, our kids are meeting in the back bedroom of a person's house. And that's really not true. You could totally use our curriculum in the back bedroom of a house with a bunch of kids. It's a very flexible thing. And so Sunday school small groups, it's what you make of it. And a small group isn't really a small group for kids if there's not teaching going on. It's really childcare.
Good. Oh, great point. I think a lot of churches would consider that, or at least their adults might consider that. It's just taking care of the kids while the adults do their important stuff. Of course, you and I are in children's ministry. We think the opposite. We think the big ministry happens with kids. I think the fear was that if we quit calling it Sunday school, that we weren't going to have the same objectives. We at Lifeway actually quit calling it Sunday school for a reason. We serve so many churches that don't have church on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Like they will only have Saturday night, or they would do both.
Right.
Or they wanted to do something on Wednesday night, and they would look at our curriculum and it said Sunday school, and they realized, well, this isn't for us. It says Sunday on it. So for us, literally, some just change in some of the verbiage, but they're lessons that are designed for a small group, whether that be on Sunday or another night. And like you said, the key component, it's facilitated by a leader mm-hmm. that loves those kids. They're still in community, but it's facilitated by a leader that loves them and teaches them. Well, why is it that small group environment is critical for kids?
So much of what I believe in the leading of kids is the relationship that teachers have to build with the kids. And so small groups provide the opportunity that kids will get to see Jesus through the leaders. In a school environment, there's 26 kids with one teacher, and there's hardly a time for one-on-one interaction. And that's not the teacher's fault. It's the system that's set up. In a Sunday school environment, you want the teacher to be able to build a relationship with the child so the child can ask spiritual questions and feel comfortable doing that. So I believe the relationship is probably the key point of that small group.
Yeah, and also the parents, too. A teacher in an educational setting, my wife has been a teacher, and of course now that we have four kids, we've been to many conferences. Like, that's the only interaction with the teacher is when either they've gotten in trouble, which we haven't had to do a lot of those, mm-hmm. or it's a teacher conference once a year, how your kids' grades are. A Sunday school teacher, a small group teacher, should have pretty constant interaction with the parents of those kids, because your Sunday school teachers need to be leading the parents as well, probably even more so, mm-hmm. because we really want to be the backup to what's happening at home, not the, hey, we're the experts in teaching your kids. Good luck at home. We want to teach parents to become experts. They already are experts in their kids. And so our small group leaders and Sunday school teachers also have a critical role in relating to the parents. Well, I want to go to the last question, because you may unpack it in a minute. I see probably five different podcasts from this one question. So it's a general question. What should a typical small group for kids look like? And you can pick any number of topics. I mean, their size of the group, how many leaders, what ratio of kids to leaders, how long should it be, what should happen during that time. You've already mentioned hands-on, but just unpack. What should a small group for kids look like?
You know, it's because we believe that kids learn differently at different age levels. It's going to be different for different times. But as far as size goes, you really have to look at your room size and what your space allows. There's best case scenarios. And in a baby's room, we would say in a baby's small group, we would want a 1-to-1 ratio when at all possible. If that's not possible, you'd want a 1-to-2 ratio. But you have to remember that your kids or those babies, they need extra, extra special attention. As they get older, you can move to, you know, as the preschool gets older, it's a 1-to-4 to 1-to-6 ratio. And then as they get into grade school, it could be a 1-to-8, 1-to-10 ratio. You just never want your small groups to be too big without enough leaders. Now, that doesn't say that you have to have 10 teachers in a room of 100. Hopefully you wouldn't do that as far as the small groups anyway. But if you had a 20 kids, which is what I generally have in my Sunday school class, yeah. I teach second grade, and we have two teachers. We're not all the time teaching, both of us. We switch it out. But there's opportunities for me to help guide behavior when my co-teacher is teaching, or there's opportunities for me to help interact when we're doing a small group activity. So you want to make sure that as you're recruiting leaders and you're thinking about that, that you might just be recruiting some relational people that aren't going to have a key role as maybe like a master teacher approach, but they're going to be able to build relationships with three or four of those kids. With 20 kids, it's kind of hard to keep up with every one of those kids and what's going on. And so you do need that extra help. I try really hard to interact with my kids throughout the week that are in my Sunday school class and talk to their parents on Facebook and send them pictures and send them postcards and send them things. And in a large class, it's very difficult to do that. And so small groups, you want to maintain a small size. One of the troubles that we face in that is there are a lot of churches, I think, even like your church at Rolling Hills, y'all took an old factory and turned it into your church. And so your space looks different.
We had a giant, it was a gym basically, mm-hmm. and our classrooms were divided by a bookcase.
Right.
It was all really one big room, and it was noisy and loud. We've just, by the way, moved into new space about a month ago.
Well, that's good. That's
nice. It made a difference.
Yes. So, but in my church, it's a very traditional church, and we have rooms galore. And so what you want to do is just make sure that whatever you're doing, that you're trying to create a specific space for those kids. Especially in the preschool area, kids need security, and there's a lot of security in four walls. And so you want to think about how you can make a kid feel at home in your classroom, no matter what the space is.
Yep.
I've heard of some churches that have gyms, and they put tents in their gyms.
Nice.
And classes meet in those tents. And that's okay because there's security there for them.
Yeah. You mentioned this briefly, too, when it comes to what is an ideal small group, and you mentioned not everybody being the master teacher. That's allowed us to use teens, and they're mature teens. I mean, they're incredibly effective because they do get to know the kids. They're there every week. So we're able to sort of do more because we trust our teens. Occasionally, when we split into small groups within our – because we have 25 kids in our classroom. It's all first graders. We might take the boys on one side and the girls on another, and me and one of the teenage leaders will lead one group and my wife and another. We have got a couple adults too. But having teens in there helps a lot, and churches are learning to be okay with that. I'll be real cautious about giving them a key leadership role, but allowing them to teach with you and at some point possibly even teach. You know, I think they can go through the same process as adults do from being interviewed on their faith, and I think that helps us out a lot. What about in your you mentioned it's, is you and your wife, by the way, 20 kids?
No, it's me. We have a co-teacher.
Okay, you have a co-teacher as well. I guess if you could say what this is the perfect number. This is church leaders ask us all the time. What's the perfect ratio for elementary?
The perfect ratio, I don't know exactly what I would say that is, but I would personally like a 1-6 ratio. That would be ideal for me.
I like 1-1. But we won't get that many
1-6 would be great, but that's just not the real world. We live in a volunteer-strapped church society, and I'm not sure exactly. I think that we've had an influx of young families coming back to church after a generation of people not being in church. And so they were never taught to serve in church. And there's a lot of people who are busy during the week and they don't want to serve. And I've seen how rotating teachers can help that so that they're not in a constant child environment. But just remembering that the idea is to build a relationship with those kids. And the more kids you add to that, the struggle becomes greater. There's also security things that you just have to look out for yourself for. You never are going to want to be in a classroom by yourself. And that's true in a small group, especially if you're looking at that home small group. They can be very dangerous if you're in a back bedroom. And so you always want to make sure in your small group environment that you are protecting your ministry, because if your ministry gets ruined, then that's a total loss.
Yeah, even a rumor can do that. You just said something that's going to be a great thing to close with, and it came back to what you started with, and that really it's about relationships. And that really – without relationships, you don't have discipleship. Discipleship is always based on relationships. Just the number of people determines the type of discipleship you're getting. And so I appreciate that, and I wish that many Sunday school – I hope that many Sunday school small group leaders across the country that are listening to this will consider that important above almost everything else they do. I mean, our programs are great. Curriculum is critical. What we teach, the content is king. On Sunday mornings, it's got to be about the Lord. But if we're not developing relationships with our kids and parents, we may be losing ground in all the other areas. So thanks, Jeff Land, for being with us today. If you want to find out more information about Lifeway Kids, you can go to lifeway.com/kidsministry. That's our blog page, and find out other podcasts there. Sometimes we have handouts and things that go along with our podcast. Feel free to use those in your training. And we are so glad that you were with us today. Thank you for joining us here at Lifeway Kids Podcast. My name is Jeffrey Reed, and our hope is that God will use you in ways bigger than you can imagine to reach more kids and families than you ever thought possible with the hope of Jesus Christ. Have a great day.